Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Resurrection Day. You know, some powerful worship this morning. And every time we get to enter in as a corporate group, God just shows up and messes me up. So, you know, Pastor Dave just mentioned how, you know, there's so many unexplained deaths and we need to have unexplained resurrections. And 6 months ago, about in the fall, I was asking the Lord that very same thing. I said, Lord, there are so many unexplained deaths. We need to be able to have that resurrection power that we don't see these deaths, but in response, the world is seeing God's power. And it just sent me on this six-month studying and reading and on the power of the blood and the power of resurrection life. At that time, I didn't know I'd be up here on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, but here we are. God knows what he's doing. So I'm all over the place this morning because I have so much in my spirit on this, and to condense it into a few minutes is hard. And I thought I was going one way, and the Lord is speaking to me another way this morning, so we're going to wing it a little bit and see where he takes us. So, Lord, we just ask for your word this morning and what you need us to hear and put in our spirit. So as Pastor Dave was talking and I'm thinking about the beginning of where I was 6 months ago, I was thinking about a friend we have that when she was saved, she was not in a church. She was not in a church. She just started reading her Bible. And she believed what she read and she did what she read. And she was seeing miracle after miracle. She wasn't studying for years to be able to walk in the power of God. She had just gotten saved. She read her Bible. It said she could heal the sick, cast out demons, and that is what she did. She was saved out of a very messy, culturally witchcraft type of life. So she understood the spirit realm from the enemy's side, and now she had the revelation of God's side, and she moved in power. She still does today. That same person a few years back spoke to me this word, which I haven't shared much, but she said to me that you are going through a season of slothfulness. What a correction from a leader, right? And I would say to you, that was a few years ago, and now just in this last 6 months, I'm starting to fully understand what she was talking about. You know, there was a season in our life where God was moving in supernatural power all the time, and I acknowledged that power, that it was happening, when it was happening, like we knew it wasn't us, it was God. And then we get comfortable in that. I got comfortable in that. I got busy. You know, we have resurrection power residing in us. Romans 8:11 says, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. It doesn't say we need to abide and tarry and beg and plead and pursue. It says it's in us. So, Lord, why then am I not moving in that resurrection power? And that was my question. And it's been a tough 6 months, I'll tell you. And I'm not there. I'm not there. I'm just understanding and I'm trying to apply. And I would say in the last 3 to 4 weeks, it's been more intense spiritual battle to get to where I need to be. And in that time, I thought, you know, that religious thing had already been shut down. But God started pointing at things in me that were still old and bad thinking, not right thinking. not his thinking, my old stinking thinking. And it rises up when something happens and you're like, what am I supposed to do with this, Lord? You know, is it right? Because at some level it is, but is it you? So I believe that God is moving us to a season. And that's another thing I was corrected on, because I'm praying, Lord, send your resurrection power. And he's going to me, it's already there. So it's not about him sending his power in this season. It's about him awakening his power that's already in us. Because how do we activate it? We activate it by faith. It's faith that activates the power within us. It's already here. How did we come to know the Lord? That was a miracle. It was by faith. That same faith activates the power. See, when our friend who wasn't in a church didn't have all the church stuff and tradition and cultural stuff coming at her, she just believed it. And I would say God's stripping the church of all the tradition. And if we choose, he's stripping it from us as believers so that we could walk in the power that he intended, not in the power we think or how we think it should be. So I started reading all the accounts, of course, of Jesus' death and resurrection, because we don't just celebrate that today. That is who we are. We wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for his death and resurrection. So that's something we celebrate all the time. You know, I love this time of year. I love celebrating. I love the day we have. But what people around me are constantly, oh, it's Holy Week and we have to be holy. And I'm like, no, we have to be holy all the time. And just because this is a week, it's not about the week. It's not, this week is special because we celebrate, but it should be all the time. Like, so that frustrates me a little bit. But I want to be in a place where I'm moving and living in resurrection power every day of my life. So the Lord just showed me something, because we are not alone in the fact that God speaks something and we don't immediately jump on it. And so I want to just share that with you today. So let's read in Matthew 27, 62 to 66. This is the New Living Translation. And I'm going to read through it. It starts with, the next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and the Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, sir, we remember what the deceiver once said while he was still alive. See how they're calling Jesus the deceiver. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. They're quoting him. The enemy of God is quoting him. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. Interesting. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first. I think the enemy has more faith in God's words than we do. The Lord was showing me how the enemy here responded to what Jesus was saying. Pilate replied, take guards and secure it the best you can. So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. They thought human power could stop the power of God. So they put these soldiers at Jesus' tomb to make sure he didn't rise again. The enemy hears and believes because he knows that the enemy knows God speaks truth. The enemy knows it. He knows the enemy is powerful. And he knows that he is a liar. The enemy knows who he is. And he knows who God is. This is why the enemy is continuously trying to shut Christians down. Even today. Why? Because he knows we carry the truth, and he doesn't want the truth out. He wants his lie out there. But the enemy continuously underestimates his power. No human guard was going to stop the resurrection power that descended into the earth that morning. God's resurrection power is in the earth today. It showed up over 2,000 years ago and is still here in you and me today. Jeremy last week spoke about the power of the blood and righteousness, and that's all what leads up to this. It is the power of his blood, the shedding of his blood, that we get to access his righteousness and his power today. That is something the enemy doesn't have. He's not covered in the blood like we are. He's not covered in the power. He's not carrying the power we have. He's very limited. We give him way too much authority and credit in our life. However, we have Jesus' disciples in contrast, who spent 3 years with him, listening to him, following him around, witnessing the miracles, performing them themselves, that didn't have the same faith in his word that the enemy had. What did they do? If you read the story in all of the Gospels, it is very similar. We're going to read in Luke today. Luke 24, 1 to 12. But very early on Sunday morning, the woman went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So let's just start with the first thing. They went to the tomb with the spices. What does that tell us? They expected him to be there. They expected him to be there dead. And they were shocked when they saw the tomb had been rolled away. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell the 11 disciples, his best friends, the people that were closest to him, and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. So at some level, it makes me feel a little better about my slothfulness, that even his best friends, his disciples, the people who witnessed all that he did, didn't believe his word. The enemy did. While the enemy was preparing for Jesus' word to manifest, his disciples, heartbroken, dejected. Now you gotta know, his disciples were expecting Jesus to come down off that cross, take over and rule on the earth in that time so that they would no longer be under Roman control. But it didn't happen the way they expected. Even though Jesus was telling them the whole time he was with them that was not the plan, they still thought it was the plan. How many times have I been disappointed when I thought I knew the plan of the Lord? But because my eyes are so fixed on what I believe he's saying or what I believe he should be doing or how I expect it to come out, I miss what he's doing. You know, God's vision isn't for us right here in this minute only. He does have vision for you today. But his vision is out generations and generations. And that's what he was doing here on the cross. He saw you and me, not just John, James, Luke, Mark, and the rest of them. You know how it is when someone close to you dies, it totally upends your life. And things are no longer the same. I remember when my mom passed, I dialed her phone number all the time, thinking she was going to pick up. Because you forget, because you're living a certain way, and then all of a sudden it changes. And this is where the disciples were. I'm not saying they were wrong. I'm sure I would have been worse if I were living in that day. They were human, as we are human. But the Lord was trying to teach them something greater in that season. And he's trying to teach us something greater in our day. So, I was reading in the last several months, I can't even remember where it was anymore, but I was reading about the comparison of the resurrection of Jairus's daughter and Lazarus, right? They were both resurrections. And we can go into the Old Testament and read about Elijah resurrecting the young boy. And I'm sure there are others that these are the ones coming to mind. And I was reading about the comparison of those resurrections to the resurrection power that entered the earth on Resurrection Day. And the comparison was that those that were resurrected prior to Jesus was a resuscitation of those dead bodies. Because once they rose again, they were the same person that passed, right? Nothing changed. They were just dead and now alive. Powerful. I'd love to be able to do that. We can do that, by the way. That's what we're going to be doing, because as unexplained deaths are happening, we're going to be having unexplained resurrections. Amen. That's where God is moving us, right? If we want, choose to believe, and if we have faith for it. So in reading that, the person who had written it was a scientist, and he was saying how the power that was released into the earth that day was so different. It was like a culmination of all the words in the Bible that express power that was released into the earth that not only resurrected Jesus, but it transformed him. And we know that because no one recognized him. They didn't recognize him when they saw him, because he had been not just resuscitated, but transformed by resurrection power. And that is the power. That is the kind of power that lives in us. If we think about it, we tapped into that power when we got saved. Because if we've tapped into that resurrection power, we're not the same person we were before we encountered that power. And Jesus that day was not the same person that went into the tomb. He was living in a resurrected body, in a resurrected life, releasing transforming power into the earth that day. That power also tore the veil, which gave us full and complete access. Full and complete access to Jesus, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes I would say I have miracles happening around me all the time. This past week was a miracle for me. I drove every day into New York City, and I survived through the city. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't get hit. There were a few issues, like where I had to temper myself down and remind myself who I am. But it happened. To me, that was a miracle. And you know, because I don't drive in the city. Maybe I've driven in the city twice in my whole life. Now it was 6 days in a row. In January, John and I were driving home from a Super Bowl party. And we were fine, but we had left a little later than we normally would. We waited till the end because it was such a close game, right? And so we're driving down the street, right where we used to live. It's not even like we're unfamiliar with the area. And as we were coming down that street, a car came flying up the hill, ran a stop sign, and for sure I knew in my spirit we were going to be dead. And I'm screaming, Jesus! And he's hitting the brake, but really he needed to keep going to pass. And as he's hitting the brake, the car literally lurched forward. And that they missed us by a hair. And I said, okay, God, thank you so much. You see, we're not acknowledging his power working in our life. And when we're not acknowledging it and we're not thanking him, we're not going to see more of it, because he wants us to acknowledge the fact that he's moving in our life. We need to speak it. Al spoke about speaking the word and the words we speak. And I'm finding myself all the time contradicting myself. These words are contradicting what I believe. So that tells me that's really what's in my spirit. I need to rework my heart to believe what the word says and not what life and culture would tell me, that it was good luck or a good break or whatever they would say. No, it was the hand of the Lord shoving that car forward. So we're here today. How many times has the Lord just interrupted and we don't really even acknowledge it because we're not seeing it, because our eyes are closed to the power of God working in our life? This is me. I don't know. Maybe you're better in a better place than I am, but I'll tell you, God has been showing me things and I'm like, oosh, yeah, it's not where I should be. If resurrection power lives in us, then we need to act like it does. It is our place as believers to act on that power that already resides in us. And how do we do it? It takes a radical faith. It takes faith that's going to step out, not because we feel the power, but because we know we have the power. Every time I'm missing it, I'm getting a correction in my spirit, because I'm missing it a lot, more than I thought I was missing it. You know, sometimes you're with somebody and you're going, I need to pray for this person. But then the conversation goes on, you never pray for them, and you go home. And the Lord's like, what happened? We have to have the kind of faith that we're going to be willing to move in supernatural power, regardless of the outcome. Because sometimes, you know, I think about it on a work level. Sometimes I want to say, let me just pray for you. And then I think, well, that would be out of line because I'm in work. And like, I'm putting in all the structures of the earth realm into the power, the supernatural power that I carry. And I'm tempering it because I'm worried about what will happen. Well, what if the person gets healed? Like he should. Wouldn't that be awesome? Maybe it would change the perception of the people who put the rules in place, the standard in place. I say people are getting way too comfortable with people dying suddenly. Yeah. We're getting way too comfortable with that. It should upset us, and it should make us a righteous anger in us that we're going to say, not going to happen. Okay. So I would say in this season, he's calling his church back to what he intended, a powerful, life-giving force in the earth today, a people that will stand on his truth and not waver, a body that will raise the dead, heal the sick, a people that will cause the enemy to run and hide when we walk into a room. We need to be bold and courageous in the face of the enemy, because God has our backs. You know, I was thinking about Elijah, and I was reading Elisha in 2 Kings 6. And for some reason, when I was studying about the power, the resurrection power, this story came to mind, because Elisha was already moving in a level of resurrection power before Christ, right? So he was pulling forward into his life what was going to be released into the earth in our time. And the story about King Aram. So King Aram was at war with Israel, and Elisha was hearing all that King Aram was talking about to his army, the strategy. Elijah was getting the strategy from God and giving it to the king of Israel. So They were losing because they were showing up. They knew. They were ready and prepared when the enemy was coming. What power is that, right? So what does the king of Aram do? He says, go find this man for me. So they told him where he was. One man, Elisha, with a double anointing from Elijah. We have a double anointing today. One man. He puts together a huge army to go get one man. Why? Because he knew the power that resided in Elisha. He knew, the enemy knew the power that resided in Elisha. If we understood the power in us versus the power in the enemy, remember, he's under our feet. He's that small. He's that powerless that he's under our feet. The only reason he even has any power is because we give it to him by agreeing with him. We give it to him. Lord, put this in our spirits, Lord, that we can move forward in radical faith. So what happens? The army surrounds them. Elisha and his servant, this whole vast army is surrounding them, calling them to come out. And his servant peeks out and he goes, comes running in. Now, Elisha, you don't read about him being even the least bit concerned. But his servant was very worried, to say the least, scared out of his mind, I'm sure. And he said, Elisha, Elisha, they're surrounding us. It's so many. And he goes, Elisha, he said to his servant, go and look. Those that are for us are greater than those that are against us. We are surrounded. And he is right. He opens his eyes. He sees that he is surrounded by a greater army of God's angels than that enemy army that King Aram put together. And then gave them the strategy to see that, to see them defeated. I would say to you today that when we look around, we think we are surrounded by evil, and we are. So was Elisha. That was true. He was surrounded by evil. He was surrounded by the enemy. We are surrounded by the enemy today. Everywhere we go, everything we look at, sometimes I'm shocked at the people in my life that are caught up in it. I think how do you blend this with that and call it I don't know what, but it's scary. I mean, this week we were watching on one of the shows we watched how there's this church that is talking about how God is for drag, and they justified it with a obscure scripture about being a mother hen. So if the church can do it, then I guess my friends that are not saved can do it too. But it's hurting my spirit so much that I'm like, Lord, you have to show us the power. You have to show me the power that surrounds me. You have to show me how I am surrounded. You have to awaken that resurrection power in me so that I could speak truth, and not in a way that's mocking or condescending or ridiculing, but in a way that is powerful to change hearts. There is a way it has to be done. It can't be like we're ridiculing them or mocking them, but it has to be that we could show and speak truth like Jesus did and cause transformation. Will everyone transform? No. But I would say there are a lot of people out there that have not heard the truth, have not heard the word of God. My sister, Cindy, thank God, who is doing, I would say, better than I expect her to be doing, but it is a long road of recovery, but she is doing so much better than I had expected, which is sad with what I'm speaking about. But but you know, you get caught up in what the doctors are telling you, what the doctors are saying, and they're always giving the absolute worst scenario. We have to keep that in our minds. They're giving us the worst scenario, but because they're needing to protect themselves. But we have to remember that we're not subject to that. We carry resurrection power. We are not subject to what the doctor says. We're subject to God's truth. So my sister many of you know, has special needs kids, and she has this group home thing where she hires people to help with the kids. Well, adults now, but they need help. So she had just recently hired a woman who had never heard about Jesus. Never been in a church. Her family never spoke of it. She had never heard about Jesus. It's hard for me to even comprehend that, having been raised in the church, right? So she had never, ever heard about it. And after a week working with Cindy, she is like, you need to buy me a Bible. I need to see what this is about. Like, and it's not that my sister's preaching at her. She's just living her life. And it's a messy life. It's not a pristine, beautiful, resurrected life. It's a messy life. But she's seeing, without even being saved and redeemed, she's seeing the power of God working in her family. And I'm like, it's really amazing, that ministry that she has there, you know? It's, I'm standing here today and she's doing more than I am. So you see, you never know. So to activate the fullness of resurrection power and all the benefits that are promised to you, healing, abundance, peace, joy, every good thing, we must put that same belief that brought us to salvation, which is our faith, into action. Every yoke is destroyed under the resurrection power, and every part of the blessing is released. If we speak that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, if that is our confession, then guess what? That is what we'll do, all things. As I was driving my first day into the city at 5 a.m., I'm going, Lord, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I was declaring that scripture. The very same Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that superpower that raised Jesus from the dead, not just a resuscitation power, but a resurrecting transformation power, is in us today. We need to live in this power every day, not just one day a year. No sickness can stand against it. Poverty doesn't take a permanent residence. Though storms may come, there is no chance for it to stay because of the blood. The resurrection power in you can speak and calm a storm, heal the sick, even raise the dead. That's what God's word promises us. We may temporarily be in a battle, but the war has been won. Stand, believe, and declare, it is finished. Which is exactly what he said when he gave up his last breath for you and I. It is finished. And that's the place we need to live from. That is finished, and now we have the victory, and we need to declare that victory and resurrection life. So we're going to make some declarations, and then we're going to pray. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, therefore I carry resurrection power. Resurrection power is being awakened in me and my household. I boldly declare the truth of God's word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So Lord, we just thank you this morning for the reminder of who we are in you. We thank you, Lord, that we carry your resurrection power wherever we go, Lord. And Father, we thank you that in this season, we are going to see supernatural transformation in our lives, Lord, that your power will begin to manifest in ways we've never seen before, Lord. We thank you for the resurrection life that resides in you, Lord. And we declare that over our families today, oh God. We declare resurrection life to the lost, the broken, the hurting, oh God, the sick, Lord, the impaired. We declare resurrection life over our city, over our nation, over New Jersey. We say, Lord, come alive in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you are raising up a warring army, oh God, who understands what who they are and what they are here to do, oh God. We thank you, Lord, that you are awakening your power, that dead bones will arise. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for refreshing. We thank you for your victory. We thank you that we get to walk in it and experiencing it every day. In Jesus' name, amen.